Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Friends, the warmest and heartiest and most joyous Easter greetings from our home to yours. This morning, I woke up earlier than normal and I opened the blinds and looked outside at this glorious day, this Easter morning that God has made. And I thought to myself, this day is just so beautiful. What could be more beautiful than being able to travel down to St. John's and worship together in person and to hug each other and to shake hands and to celebrate and worship in a community of people who I love and love to serve. And I stayed in this moment for I don't know how long, sort of in a fantasy world, imagining what it would be like for all of us to be gathered in. And then when I came out of it, I realized that this beautiful, glorious day where Christ has risen, and I realized that my heart was breaking a little bit. Forgive me. Maybe a little bit more than a little bit. Because my desire, my need to be in community and to worship and celebrate this day is so strong, I'm sure like all of ours. And I realized that no matter what my desire was, how badly I wanted things to be different, the reality of what I wanted wasn't going to come to pass today. So I sat in that moment and feeling all the emotion and just being in that moment of joy and also in heartbreak. And I thought, I need to find my treasure right here. Not quite a week ago, the British Columbia Public Health Authority issued yet another list of province-wide restrictions to slow the spread of COVID-19. Minister Adrian Dix called it a three-week circuit breaker because our numbers are just too high. Later that same day, my good friend of many years messaged me and asked if I'd heard the latest news. I said I had, that I was disappointed but not at all surprised, as it's really the only way to mitigate our infection rates until more people are vaccinated. Ugh, she says, I know. It all makes good sense medically. But she says, I'm just so damn tired of it all. I mean, seriously, she quips. What's next? I thought about what she had said, and the question of what's next seems to be on people's mind a lot lately. It could be a question asked out of fear and frustration. Haven't we suffered enough already? What's next? Locusts, frogs, rivers of blood? What is next? When will things return to normal? When will we be able to gather again with friends, go to church, hug each other again? On that first Easter day more than 2,000 years ago, it would have been hard for the disciples to answer the question, what's next? Yes, they had heard the prophecies from Scripture, and they had heard Jesus talk about his role in fulfilling them. But could they really have imagined what exactly that would mean? And even if they could imagine it, could they really believe that this impossible thing was coming to pass? It seems clear from the gospel accounts of the resurrection and the 50 days following it that even his closest friends weren't really sure what to believe. This doesn't mean that they were lacking in faith. They were stunned and reeling from a violent death of someone they loved. They were wondering if it was even worth hoping that things would ever be right with the world again. They were experiencing the very real emotions of shock, heartbreak, and despair. My friends, we too know these emotions. Likely we are feeling some of them ourselves. We are not sure what we can believe, what we have been told to believe all our lives to believe, that resurrection is real, that new life is coming, that today is a day of celebration. And that's okay, because liturgical seasons are not straitjackets. If Holy Week hasn't felt especially holy, or if Easter doesn't feel especially joyful, well, that's all right too. The time will come. Whatever you are feeling today is what it is. As a matter of fact, for some of us, today might not be the best day to ask what is next. Maybe it's the day to learn to sit with what is, to live fully into this time, this experience, with its sorrows and its uncertainties, as well as its moments of comfort and pleasure and delight. When I was in Vancouver doing my clinical pastoral education residency for Providence Health, I was tasked with trying to discover what my pastoral image is as a spiritual care provider. In my quest, I rediscovered the works of priest and author Henry Nouwen, who wrote something that resonates with me this Easter more than ever. He said, "Being patient is difficult. It is not just waiting until something happens over which we have no control. The arrival of a bus, the end of the rain, the return of a friend, the resolution of a conflict. Patience is not waiting passively until someone else does something. Patience asks us to live the moment to the fullest, to be completely present to the moment, to taste and hear to taste the here and now, to be where we are. When we are impatient, we try to get away from where we are. We behave as if the real thing will happen tomorrow, later, and somewhere else. Be patient and trust that the treasure you are looking for is hidden in the ground on which you stand." So here we are. We don't know what's imminently next. If there is one story that always gives me hope, it is the second half of today's gospel story, when Mary Magdalene is alone in the garden weeping. She is so vulnerable, so confused, and so lost. God has to reach out to her first through the empty tomb, then through the angels, and finally through Jesus himself, who shows up and speaks to her, making this his first post-resurrection appearance to anyone. And even she mistakes him as the gardener. In a move that feels eerily familiar right now, Jesus speaks to Mary, but will not let her touch him or cling to him. She has to be reassured by his voice and his presence. When he finally says her name, all of her anxious planning for what to do next falls away. The only thing she has to do now is share with others the good news she has experienced for herself. And really, What else could she do? She couldn't do anything less. On a number of recent occasions, I've expressed to my folks my dislike of the phrase social distancing. Yes, of course, it is vital that we abide by the rule of physical distancing, but this is not a time to be socially distanced from one another. Relationships matter and names matter. I think all of us have learned quite a bit about social distancing through all the tensions and divisions in our country and also with our friends and neighbors south of the border. But what has been inspiring through this time of uncertainty sparked by the pandemic is that people seem to be rediscovering the power of social connection. We seem to have a renewed appreciation for the value and richness of relationship that we bring to each other. Perhaps in adversity, we are discovering more of what it means to be interdependent human beings, each with a name and a story. And at the heart is love. Love which began with the love of God who created us to live in relationship. Our God, who knows us by name and loves us, treasures us more than we dare to imagine. Just look at the cross, look at the empty tomb. And when Jesus speaks Mary's name, she knows that love. She wants to hold tight to Jesus. His death had brought a distancing which had been unbearable. Yet Jesus speaks words to Mary which seem to almost impose a distancing. Do not hold on to me. Then he speaks strange words of ascending, strange words that will become reality in due course when the risen Jesus leaves the earth and the Holy Spirit will come to be Christ's presence in every time and in every moment. Standing by the empty tomb, Mary doesn't understand any of that. She has encountered the risen Christ, and now she wants life to go back to normal. Well, life as she had known it. Yet it cannot and it will not. Life will never be the same again. Mary's experience at the empty tomb reinforces the wisdom of Nouwen's words. The treasure you are looking for is in the ground on which you stand. When we center ourselves, plant our feet on the ground and breathe, we don't have to look anywhere else for our treasure, for our sustenance, for our daily bread. The ground of being, the creator of everything that is, the God who broke the power of sin and death and rose again from the grave is right here with us and calling our names. The time of COVID-19 has challenged us. And I hope that we might continue to learn and love and be kind to each other and learn about social closeness, even in the face of physical distancing. But even more than that, I yearn for us to take hold of the certainty that nothing can undo the resurrection of Christ. It has happened, and nothing can separate us from the love of God revealed in Jesus. Not COVID-19, not even death. Nothing can change the reality that you and I are named individuals, unique and precious, known by God and known by name. Regardless of what comes next this week or this month or this year, we can hold tight to what is next in God's time and for all eternity. Love wins. Life, not death, will have the final say. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.